We're going to go to our Bibles. So do something to you. I want you to go to two scriptures, and then we're just going to look up. So if you go to Isaiah 43 in your Bibles, first of all, that's the first one we're going to be going to. And I know you've got a little marker or something in your Bible. If you also put a marker in 1 Corinthians 15, okay, because we're going to be going there later, and just for continuity, we'll go there as well. So Isaiah 43. Praise the Lord. Just while you're getting there, a little bit of context for Isaiah. We're going to be there in a moment. What a fascinating prophet Isaiah was. Chapter 53 of Isaiah is the most quoted Old Testament book in the New Testament by the New Testament writers. Jesus quotes extensively in his ministry from Isaiah. 27 chapters of Isaiah are concerned mainly with the messianic prophecy. Praise God. Yeah. The Holy Spirit is actually mentioned 15 times in the book of Isaiah. Yeah, 720 years before Jesus came, another 3.5 years, then we got another 50 days before Pentecost. All that time, the Holy Spirit is actually mentioned. That's not saying anything about the allusion to his power and might. It's an awesome book. Praise God. So you're there? And we're going to go there in a moment. That's great. Praise God. What I want you to do now, I want to turn to left and right and say, you're going to be blessed by God's word today. Amen. 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 That blesses me. And, you know, it's true, isn't it? You know, I don't do that just for a thing to do. I believe it. Do you believe it? See, when we open God's word, it's powerful. It's authority. And I know Pastor Trevor has already encouraged us at the beginning of this year to start reading the Bible for the whole year program. And I know many of you are doing that. That's really encouraging, because when we understand the authority that we have and we have been given, once we get into the word, things start to happen. When you read that word in the morning, you do your Bible study in the morning, you go, there's a fragrance, amen. There's a fragrance that you get around yourself. There's an authority that you move in. And you go into your workplace, your college, your business, and you rule and reign. Amen? I need to hear some more amens today. Amen. Amen. I know I'm speaking to somebody. Amen. You get in that. Come on, church. When you read the Bible, you get into the authority. And it's a wonderful thing. Do you remember, just on the authority, we all remember, of course, Jesus in the Gospels, Mark 5, Matthew 8, Luke 8. Mark 5, I'll refer to that because it's authority, because it's the first Gospel, where Jesus enters the boat and he goes in onto the Sea of Galilee and he gets into the storm. Amen? Yeah? He goes into the storm. He leaves the safe land and he goes into a boat with the disciples. The scripture says there are other boats with him, and he's sleeping like a baby in the boat, isn't he? And the squall, the Bible says, some versions say the squall comes up. There's a ferocious storm, and if anyone's been at sea in an open boat, then you'll experience, you know, that's a really tough experience. So the disciples are scared, quite rightly so. They wake Jesus up, and one word from the word, from the Logos, the authority, and what happens? Calms the storm. And I reckon there'd be no other calm ever known to man than on that day when he calmed the storm. Amen? He calmed the storm. And of course, he admonished the disciples, but it was for a reason, for lack of faith. He went through the storm. This authority of the word. He gets out of the boat. He's in the area of the Gadarenes, or depending on which version, the Gerasenes. And we know what he's happened. His mission is, he comes across the demon-possessed man. I like the way that King James, demoniac. Yeah, he's possessed, isn't he? We know his name, don't we? Because he's called Legion. Just as a thing, how many do you think demons are in this man if he's called Legion? Anybody want to have a? 4,000? Okay. Any advance on 4,000? Well done. 6,000. 6,000 was the minimum, because why? The Roman legion at that time was 6,000. Can you imagine? I'm saying this for a reason. That man was in the area of the Gerasenes, right? He was in the tombs area. Now, this area was an area of defilement. Nobody went there by choice. See, the enemy lurks where it's unclean, and he draws unclean towards him. Amen? See, he was throwing himself against rocks, cutting himself against rocks. They tried to put chains on him. I like the King James Version where it says the man, legion, plucked the chains, plucked them like a flower. That's what was going on in that man. And Jesus, remember, calmed the storm. Mark, it's just end of the fourth chapter. He comes out of the boat. Now, Jesus isn't even near the man yet. He's in the vicinity of the man. What happens? The man rushes, we're told in Scripture, to his feet and worships him. This is the authority of the Word, the living Word. Jesus hadn't even got, amen, sister. The man hadn't even got to the demoniac yet, to the legion, and the very presence of the living Word, the authority, had suppressed and put on hold that satanic activity in that man. And he'd come rushing to his feet. And by the way, did you know, Jesus' power was actually restricted at that time, because he was still in the restrictions of space and time, because he hadn't gone into resurrection power yet that he's left us with. That's the authority. The Word, the living Word, the presence of Jesus, the authority was so much that that satanic activity, 6,000 demons were put on hold, and he ran to his feet and worshipped him, and the demons actually gave Jesus the highest accolade of Son of the Most High God, Elyon, Son of the Most High God. They knew who he's with. That's the authority. That's the authority of the Word. That's what we have. And what we've been, when we apprehend, as I know we have done, and I know we do, when we apprehend what we have been given in that authority, that's when we start to rule and reign. Amen? See, I know I'm speaking to someone here. This is the authority when we get into the Word of God. You know all this. The guy was there at his feet, and of course there was a conversation ensued, we know. Okay. The authority of Jesus Christ, the demons actually asked permission. Jesus gave permission for them to leave that man. He asked them. You see, the devil and his demons are very good students of the Bible. They know eschatology. That's the end time study, because they know where they're going to end up. Amen? That should have been a really loud amen. They in the pit. Amen, thank you. Because why? Because the Bible says they plead with Jesus not to be thrown in the abyss, in one translation. Why do they say that? Because they know where they're going to end up. They know they're going to end up in the abyss, he said, before our time. And Jesus gives them permission to leave. That's the authority of the Word. That's the authority. Amen. Have I raised your faith today? In the authority of God? I hope so. Praise God. Now, thank you. Some of us think, and I have in the past, in the early days, when you read the Bible, you think, that was just for Bible times. It's difficult sometimes, isn't it, to make the connection? Or is it just me? It's difficult, isn't it? Let me give you a more relevant story to true of the authority. Just before, I haven't even started in Scripture yet. I'm just, amen. So, you remember the Bible study recently? I was so blessed that we had a song at the end. Brian put on, do you remember that song, Every Praise is to Our God? You like it, don't you? We all like that song. Amen, you do. I can see. Every Praise is, it's a lovely song. Do we know the story behind that song? It's been out a while. Do we know the story? Oh, good, because I'm going to share it with you now. Authority of God's Word. That song's been out a while. In America, somewhere in the Deep South area, there was a young lad, 10 years old. 10-year-old boy. And this boy, his name is, his surname is Myrick. Willie Myrick. 10 years old. This actually happened. he was brought up, if you like to say that, by atheist parents. His godmother took him in. Thank God for believing godmothers and praying grandmothers, amen. She took him in and he took him to church. So he started attending church, gospel church. He was playing on his drive one day and a man came up in a van and kidnapped him, abducted him off his drive. Okay? Little boy, 10 years old, lured him into this van, took him away. Now, obviously, this man, under satanic control, was going to do something really bad to this little boy, 10 years old. He was going to take him away somewhere and do it. This little boy, in fear, as he would have been, you know what he did? All he did, all he could do was start singing, "Every praise is to our God. Every praise is to our God." For 3 hours. He started singing this song for 3 hours, being driven around. You know what happened? The kidnapper had to let him go. The kidnapper let him go. This is true, this happened. This is the authority of the word. This is the authority from the overflow of the heart of that young boy. Amen. Who wants to say amen to this? From the overflow of the heart of that young boy, the authority, just mentioning praise to our Savior. Someone say praise is a weapon. Listen, that's all he did. Now, what thrills me is the chorus of that song. Don't worry, I'm not going to sing it. Okay, I'm in the club where, I'm in the Make a Joyful Noise Club. Who's with me? Okay. But the chorus of that song, you know it, goes, "God our Savior, God our Healer, God our Deliverer." 3 hours, he didn't stop singing it, and the kidnapper had to let him go. That satanic activity in that man was put on hold because of the authority of the living word, just praising God. That's the authority we have. That's the authority we have when we, as Pastor Trevor has indicated, we get into the word even more. I know there's many who read the Bible every year, and God bless you for that. But understanding what we've been given when we open this word. Amen? Amen. Let's go to scripture today. Praise God. Let's just get going now. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Isaiah 43. I told you you're going to be blessed, didn't I? Amen. Oh, just quickly, title I'll start today is of no surprise, New Beginnings. New Beginnings. Now, you may think, oh, that's an obvious thing, but I didn't know when I was going to be given the great privilege of sharing the word today. I didn't know it was going to be on the first Sunday. God laid this word on me previously. So with the testimonies, with the worship, you know, we've got to understand, that God is doing something here. Amen? God is doing something in us, and he wants to do something. All that's been said has been leading up to this point. The prayer before the meeting, I was so blessed and encouraged. I was so overwhelmed by the privilege of coming into his presence and the privilege of ministry, being involved in ministry. It is a wonderful thing. We're in Isaiah 43. We're going to read from verse 16, just to set the context through to 21. I'm reading from the New King James Version. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea and a path through the mighty waters, who brings forth the chariot and the horse, the army and the power. They shall lie down together. They shall not rise. They are extinguished. They are quenched like a wick. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring up. Shall you not know it? Or do you not see it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beasts of the field will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, because I gave waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. This people I have formed for myself. They shall declare my praise. Amen. Amen. So, this passage of scripture here is actually about revival. It's about revival. You see, just to explain a bit of the context, just to remind us, because I know we know the book of Isaiah. The context is that people had gone away. They'd worshipped carved images. They'd gone away. You know, his people kind of dropped the ball. Okay, they'd gone away from him. Now, this section from chapter 40 through to 66 is a section of further messianic prophecy, but also of comfort, of hope, of restoration, and their future salvation. That's what God is doing here. Now, his people have gone away. They're thinking there's no way back. But what God is doing here, he's wooing his people back to him. He's wooing his people back to him. And you know what he does? There's no time to go into it now, but if you look back all the time, he's leading it, and he explains this. And what he's doing, he's giving his people a history lesson. Now, it's not like the history lessons we had at school, where looking out the window, wanting to be doing something else. Amen? Or is that just me? All right? It was you as well. Okay? This is a wonderful history lesson, because what God is doing is reminding them. He's reminding them. He says, do you remember? He's reacquainting them with who he is. It's like a wakening up. It's a revival. He's saying, do you remember the miracles I performed for you? What I did in your lives? I gave you food in the wilderness. He's saying, I gave you water from a rock. Amen. He's saying, pillar of cloud by day, pillar of fire by night. He's saying, I split the waters so you walk right through it. Amen. Amen. He's saying, I split the waters. But he says here, all that, forget about it. Because what I'm about to do, what I'm going to do, is nothing compared to that. Amen? That deserves a big amen, because that's what he's saying to us. He's saying, you know, this has been reiterated so many times in witnesses. What I'm about to do is far greater than what I've done. You see, this is about revival. But a different kind. See, God says here, do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? Or you probably, NIV, I believe, says, do you not see it? Do you not see it? All right? So he's doing something. Now, we have to reason in that God could be doing something and we may not see it. Amen? You see, why does God say it? See, God, and it's a revival of his people. It's kind of revival. Now, we think of revival, maybe. We think of revival of in the past. You know what revival is. We've all been involved in revival. I know Trevor and I have been in tent missions in the past and they've been fantastic. Who's been involved in that sort of thing? Yeah, fantastic. In the past, revival, we think of the Welsh revival. We think of Jonathan Edwards when he preached Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. And in that time, the people thought that the actual ground was going to swallow them up and they were hanging on to things. And that was revival. And that was wonderful. And for that time, it was brilliant. But you know what? God is saying he's doing a new thing. God doesn't have to repeat himself. God, the Holy Spirit doesn't have to repeat himself. See, that's why we may miss it. Because sometimes we look at things and we think it's familiar, so we know it. It's not familiar to us, so we might miss it. Okay? Amen. Who's getting something from this? You see, that's why God says, do you see it? There's an action that we have to perform. We have to see it. God's not into repeats. He doesn't have to do the same again. You see, so he says here in his word, he says, do you not see it? See, it springs up. It springs up. Now, if something springs up, there had to be something that happened before. Something had to be planted. You see, who's glad today Who's glad today that our God is a seed planting God? Amen. Sister Linda, he's planted a seed from your travail, from your intercession, and he's going to come to fruition. That seed has been spoken over to you today. It will happen by the prayer. He's a seed planting God. He's planted a seed. When his people, get a hold of this, his people went away from him all through the Bible, okay, and he planted seeds immediately for their restoration. He planted, when this sin came into the world and man fell, he planted a seed straight away for our restoration. It's in Genesis 3:15. It's called the messianic concept. The first mention of Jesus to come, the Messiah. He's a seed planting God. So if something's springing up, then something has to be planted. Amen. He's planted it. Now, he's doing a new thing. What's the seed? What's the seed planted in us? What's the seed planted in us? You see, the wonderful thing about God is he's planted a seed in each and every one of us to be part of body ministry. Okay? We've already heard it said in the prayer about what he's going to do this year. Okay? And we've all got that seed. So what is that seed? What is a seed? What is your desire? What is your desire? See, God put the desires in our hearts. And what is our desire? Well, it's what you speak about. It's what your inner voice speaks about. Because the Bible says, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks forth. You see, it's your desire. It's your desire. But have you seen it? Have you seen it? Has it come to fruition? You see, because it's there. Because it's there. Because, as Paul says, everybody here is a stone fitly framed together. Amen? An important stone in the wall of his body ministry with Christ as the head, as it should be. Amen? Amen? Now, we all have a seed. We all have a desire. Now, it's one thing knowing that, and we do. And you know, maybe it was this time last year. I'm just going by faith now on this. Maybe this time last year, you know, you had that desire, and you were in a conversation once. You know, I could do that. We've already had our sister Linda to say that she's been increased out from prayer. Yeah, amen. To be involved more. Okay. Now a lot of you are involved, but you know, there's. I know I'm talking to somebody here. Amen. There's a desire in you that has not been fulfilled yet. And you've got a place in ministry. You see, why doesn't it become fulfilled? Because we have to do something. We have to get into the actual grace of God to enable us to do it. Okay, go with me now, please. You'll see why I got you in 1 Corinthians 15. Amen. So we're going to look at 1 Corinthians 15 now. Don't forget, we have the authority in God's word. We have an awesome resurrection power authority. We have a seed within us. We have a desire to do something. Thank God we're... people are moving in their desire in their ministry. But how, that there's a way to make the desire into reality, to activate the desire into, and it's called the grace of God. I want us to look at what Paul's going over. Now, we look at Paul and we say, don't be like Paul. We say, be like Jesus, because Paul followed after his lovely example, which is Jesus. Amen. So Paul, what's he saying here? We're going to go now to verse, I'm just jumping in here, I've got time to unpack it all, verse 9 through to 11. We're all familiar with this, I'm sure. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 9. Just to set the context a little bit, Paul is giving a defense of the gospel. He's talking about resurrection power, And then he comes on to a defense of who he is himself to authenticate what he's saying. Verse 9, he says, "For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God." With me at verse 10, "But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace towards me was not in vain." Your version may say, "not without effect." "Your grace towards me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was in me. Therefore, whether it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed." Right. So, what we're seeing here is what activates the desire to do something for God, to make it a reality, to come to fruition. Okay? And it's called the outrageous grace of God, what we sing about. We sing about it. It's the outrageous grace of God. Now, just want to unpack this for a little while. You know, the grace of God is free, but it's not cheap. Who knows that? Okay, it's free, but it's not cheap. You see, what's going on with Paul here? He's giving a defense of his ministry in a way which he did in other places. He's saying, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am. The grace towards me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all." Okay. Now, what he's not saying there is that in saying I labored more abundantly, I like abundantly because it's a produce word, isn't it? Amen? It's a produce word. It's a growth word. It's a fruitful word. He labored more abundantly. What he's not saying is, who's he referring to? He's referring to the other guys, Philip, Bartholomew, and all those, the ministry team. Okay? So he's not saying, "While you were having your lunch, I was working and eating my lunch at the same time." He's not saying, "I got up earlier than you guys and I did more work." He's not saying that. Okay? He's saying, "I labored more abundantly." So what he's saying is, see, because Paul was in the flow of grace upon his life, the work he did, the produce was more abundant than the others around him. He was able to work more abundantly and produce more because he was in the flow of God's grace. You see? Do we see that? He was in the flow of God's grace. Now, that's not degenerating the other guys, what they were doing. We don't know. We're just concentrating on this. See, he tapped into and he got into the flow of God's grace. So that's why he was able to work more abundantly. Now, when we come, you see, it's free, but it's not cheap. You see, there's something that has to happen in between our desire and entering into the grace of God, the outrageous grace which is there to be poured out upon our lives. There's something that has to happen. And there's obedience to what he wants. Let me ground that a little bit. You see, you've had a desire. I know I'm speaking to somebody here today. You've had a desire in your heart to do something in the church. Now, you know, let me say first of all, there's no great and small ministries. Okay, ministry is ministry. Whether it's making the tea, it's welcoming, or it's a platform ministry. That's body ministry. Okay, amen? So, you've had a desire, but why hasn't it come to fruition? Why hasn't the grace of God maybe been poured out? And what I want to say, and I've experienced this in my life, and I had to learn the hard way. He took me round the long way, believe me. It's me, okay? Right? We are the only obstacles to the grace of God being poured out upon our lives. Okay? We are the only obstacles. Because you know why? You've got a great ministry within you. You've got a great seed planted within you that God put there. There's been nurturing. And we're the only obstacle to it. Because you know why? Because you know what? Maybe some things need to be let go in our life. You know? You've got to let go to get into the flow. Okay? So maybe some things have got to, I don't know what it could be. I'm just going by faith here. I know I'm speaking to somebody who's got a ministry in this place that's vital in the thing. Listen, we've all been there. You know, we're doing something in our lives that, you know, just maybe just getting in the way. Maybe on a Saturday night we do something, quite innocently we go out. We turn up at church on a Sunday morning and thank God we're here, but maybe a little bit bleary-eyed. Maybe a little bit tired. You see, maybe you're thinking, I could work with the kids. I like being around kids. I enjoy teaching. I enjoy that. That's the desire in your heart. You only speak about it because God's put it there, amen? But if you don't let that thing go in the week or on the Saturday night, the grace isn't going to be poured out, because for our children, you have to be on point before you come before any children today. You know, and the kids out there are waiting to come in. Amen? You see, you have to be, some things have to go. And the outrageous thing about God's grace, and Paul discovered this, you know, he came from a place of persecuting the church. We can only imagine that. We don't add or take away from God's word, amen? I'm not saying that. But we can only imagine what kind of character he was before. He had to let things go. He was in the grace. He worked more abundantly because he was in the flow of God's grace. You know? He got 24 hours, same as everybody else. Amen? Now, what? And also, you can apply this to your lives, your family, your work, church, ministry. And those, you know, you probably might be saying now, I just want to shut the door on the enemy here. You might be saying now, yeah, well, I'm doing something in the church. And that's great. Bless you if that's your portion. But, you know, our progressive sanctification means it's ongoing. He's increasing us, sister. He's increasing us, and there's more. You see, we've heard today in testimony what God's got planned for this fellowship. Amen. It's got to start with us. It's got to start with us to draw them in. That's why Pastor Trevor said, get into God's word, because we're moving in our workplaces, where we are in the day, where we go shopping. We have a fragrance around us that people want to be attracted to. They're attracted towards us because they see something different. We're ruling and reigning. What ruling and reigning is. Amen. So the way to activate your desire and let the flow of God's grace come even in more abundance. You know the outrageous thing about God's grace? It never runs out. Never runs out. Amen? You know that, don't you, sister? Yeah, you're smiling. See, it never runs out. And you know what? That song is so perfect to say outrageous grace, because to us it is. You know why? Because God plants a seed. He's doing that new thing. He plants a seed in us. He plants the seed in us. Okay? And he gives us that desire. Right? We have this desire, this yearning to do something. We have this yearning. We then get into the flow, we become obedient, and then he pours out his grace upon us in order for us to do and activate our desires, and then you know what? He rewards us. That's outrageous. And that's what he's got waiting for us. Amen? Amen? Amen. And you know, the wonderful things, friends, dear ones, is even if we're doing something, when we access the flow of God's grace more, we can be more abundant. You know? Because we're on a different... And that's what Isaiah was talking... That revival is. It's about thinking differently, about doing things differently. It's about getting... God wants to get the elastic band of our lives and stretch it so much that it doesn't go back the way it was before. Who done that when they were a child? Yeah. Okay? Stretch the elastic band of our lives and not go back to the way it was before. Because he's doing a new thing. He's doing a new thing. That's a new thing. It springs up. If something springs up, something has to be planted. And we're seeing testimonies of that. And God's confirming his word. Praise God. Hallelujah. We're just going to, I'm going to close now. Actually, what? Really early today. We got time for prayer. Okay. What I'd like to do, if the worship group could come back, please, and honour us with some worship. What I want to do, we're going to open this time. We've had prayer already, but I believe there's someone here needs to respond to this today. And, you know, also, that there's someone here needs to respond. We've already had great prayer for that, but there's someone else here that, you know, you've been praying for a member of your family. You've been praying for a member of your family so long, and you're wondering what's happened. You know, what I want to tell you today is that God has planted the seed for the restoration of that person already. And you can come forward today for prayer, and just be an intercessor today and stand in the gap for that person. Thank you. Okay. There's been time allotted for this. Come forward for prayer and receive new beginnings. Amen. New year. Come forward and receive today. If you've had something prompted in your belly today, some prompted in your heart today about a desire that needs to come to fruition, why not those things that you know are maybe getting in the way? Why don't you lay them down today? You know, this is a perfect time to lay them down today. Don't have to admit any, do anything. Lay them down today and say, yes, I want to get into the flow. I want to let things go to get into the flow. Just remind us, just in closing, just in summary, so we can take something tangible with us today. Pastor Trevor's already indicated the start of the year to get into the authority of the word. Okay, we need to understand what we have been given. We need to understand also that he's doing something new. But the question is, can we see it? Amen. And finally, to get into the grace, get into the, let things go to get into the flow. Amen. And that is how the gates of hell shall not prevail against his church. That's how we build in this place. And that's how we'll go forward. Amen. We're going to have a time now. They're going to play something kind of soft. And I want you to come forward for prayer. There's Pastor Trevor, Pastor Juanita, and Terry here to pray for you also this morning. And let's just activate what we've had today and do something. Maybe that thing needs to be let go. Maybe this is the time. Okay, let's bow our heads and pray today. And just as I close, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for the awesome privilege it is to come into your presence. And we thank you for the privilege of ministry, as we all are in ministry. And we thank you, Lord, that there's a gap in the wall in this church for us to be fitly framed together in. And you're raising up ministries, Lord, at the start of this year. You're raising up new things. And Lord, we know that we're going to see those seeds come into fruition as we access your abundant and outrageous grace on our lives. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, so much for what you're going to do. We're excited at what you're going to do in this coming year. Speak to us, Lord, further with this word. Let it sink deep into our hearts and activate, Lord, we pray, that wonderful gift that you've deposited in us, that seed in us. As we see transformations in our own lives, transformations in our families, as we go forward in you. And we thank you so much for who you are, Lord. in your name, Jesus, we're so grateful.